Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 127, recorded on June 7th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod Touch, App Store, iTunes, and now iCloud. I'm Michael Johnston, and along with me for the ride is Mr. Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Michael. And I'm assuming this means that since you're up and talking, that you're doing well.
I am. I am doing well.
Excellent.
And Ken Ray is also here. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Michael, how's it going?
Wonderfully.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm also glad you're up and well.
Yes.
And I had no idea that there was an option.
I didn't know either. But yeah. And also, for those who didn't know, it's macOS Ken. So Ken Wright of macOS Ken.
Ah,
I got to get that in there so people know what's up.
Preach.
Yep. So today is the day after the awesome thing that happened.
You are, of course, talking about Wii U. No, I'm sorry. That actually happened today.
Oh.
Happened today. Oh, that's right. We're talking technology stuff. I thought Michael had that special moment.
Michael is, of course, referring to the Worldwide Developers Conference keynote attended and hosted by Apple CEO Steve Jobs.
Thank you.
And then Phil Schiller was also there and Scott Forstall, he of the hair.
Yeah, Scotty Forstall.
Scotty.
Yeah, good old Scotty. All right. So they talked about three main things. Of course, macOS 10 Lion, which is the thing that we don't really cover on the show. So we'll just skip ahead to iOS 5.
May I just for 1 second?
Go.
It's getting harder to avoid talking about the macOS when you're talking about iOS, isn't it?
I agree, and we will definitely be talking about macOS, I think, especially when we get to the iCloud stuff, too.
Yeah. All right, so skip ahead. I'm sorry. It's weird. I mean, when this show or when iPhone Alley started a couple of years ago, however long ago it was that iPhone Alley started, you could conceivably not even talk about the Mac.
Oh, yeah.
And it's getting much harder to not talk about the Mac operating system when you're talking about iOS.
Well, in fact, we would be trolled if we started talking about the Mac back then.
Really?
Yep.
Wasn't me.
It was me.
Yeah, it was Jeff. All right. So the first major new feature, and maybe the most anticipated and obvious feature, is Notification Center. So Notification Center retools, redoes, makes notifications better in iOS 5 by... Firstly, not showing you a modal notification. So whenever you get a notification in iOS 5, it kind of rolls in on the top and lets you know that, hey, there's a new thing, but it doesn't interrupt what you're doing. What you're doing continues happening. So, and they illustrated that very well by playing a game and then having Scott send him a message. I believe it was Greg Joswiak, and they had some fun up there. But it's very cool. You don't have to worry about, your game pausing or anything like that. And if you want to address the message, you just tap on it and it brings you over to the respective app. If you ignore it, it goes away in a few seconds and you can access all of your notifications via a Android-like pull down.
So, interesting. You say an Android-like pull down, but I've heard that it's also like the jailbreak app mobile notifier.
Notified Pro. At least that's the one that I use.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because somebody had actually explained, somebody on called in the macOS Ken Live and said what they really wanted was exactly what they do with Mobile Notifier. And had I heard about it and I had not. And then they basically described for me exactly what was shown yesterday on the stage. And then I came across a couple of articles that said that it borrowed heavily from Mobile Notifier as well. And they recently hired the developer, the prime developer behind Mobile Notifier, or at least that's the rumor that's out there. This
right.
guy who had done Mobile Notifier is like, well, I'm off to go work for the fruit company in California, is what he said. And then he removed that Twitter because apparently the fruit company for which he was going to work was not happy. But yeah, it sounds like they hired somebody who already does something a lot like what their mobile notification thing is going to be, or their notification thing is going to be.
Yeah. So aside from the fact that you have the pull down with all your recent messages, what else does mobile notifier do?
Oh, I have no idea. Because I'm not a jailbreak person. It's just, the pull down with all the messages is a big thing. The fact that it pops up on the top and doesn't enter what you're doing. I mean, also the fact that you can actually just tap on something and go straight to the application. I mean, it really sounds like they horked mobile notifier it sounds like they horked mobile notifier from what I hear. Unfortunately, I haven't used mobile notifier, so I can't say for certain. But from everything the person called in last week and said, I mean, it really sounds like it sounds like at least one person at Apple is familiar with Cydia.
Yeah, I'm sure quite a few people are familiar with Cydia.
I would imagine
okay, so. So is mobile notifier still available through Cydia?
I do not have an answer to that question. I believe so, because he was actually part of a team. And when this developer, whose name I can't remember, it was on Monday's edition of macOS Ken, I think. When this developer left, what he said was he was going to be leaving the team. I'm assuming that they're still out there and they're still doing what they're doing.
Well, I can say already from using the beta version of iOS 5, it's not entirely half-baked. You know, it's not a very quickly thrown together thing. It seems like they were working on it for a little while at least, although I'm not familiar with mobile notifier. So in addition to the little pull down, which is great, and the non-modal notifications, you can also notifications when you get them and your phone is locked, you get them on your lock screen in a list of notifications. And whenever you want to address a particular notification, all you do is slide the little corresponding icon over as you would, the standard slide to unlock icon. And it'll take you right there. Same kind of behavior as if you tapped on the message in the pull down or in the notification. The other cool thing that I noticed playing around with it is you can tweak the notification preferences for each app. So you can tell it to give you those new style notifications. You can also have an application give you one of those old style notifications if you want. And you can also tell it, if you want it in the pull down or if you want it on your lock screen. So they're giving us a lot of control over those now, which is great.
Wait, did you say they'll let you do the current now old style notifications if you want?
Yes.
Why would you want to do that? It'd be like saying, okay, we're going to give you this option of having the person of your dreams give you a massage, or you can stick a fork in your eye, your choice.
Well, I mean, sometimes something's very important and you need a fork stuck in your eye, I guess.
Oh, let's do a real world example. I don't want to get into politics. I don't want to get into the hash that the press is making of the news of today. But do you think Anthony Weiner wants something that's going to be sticking around in the list of applications and, somebody else could pick it up? Or do you think maybe there's one or two notifications that he would like to have pop up on his screen and then disappear? I mean,
you said pop up.
Thank you very much. There are reasons I think that people might not want that. I mean, let's make it a cleaner version. So I'm working on my girlfriend's surprise party, right? And I want a notification when somebody arrives someplace, but I don't want my phone laying there with that notification sitting there for her to see. If it pops up and goes away, there are reasons that you might want to do it. It's actually more surprising to me that Apple is actually giving people that choice, because that's the part that's weird. I mean, I can see reasons that you might want one or the other. Strange, though, that Apple would be like, I can see reasons why people might want one or the other. Why don't we give them both? As opposed to, no, here's what's actually good. Do it.
Maybe they learned from the whole mute switch thing on the iPad.
Hey, that's a new thing. Apple learning.
Well, no.
I mean, from the customer feedback, I should say.
Yeah, Apple caring. As far as the customer feedback part of it.
But no, I'm actually very, very impressed with the level of options that you get in the notification center. So you can also indicate how you want the notifications sorted. You can, you know, have it be sorted manually or chronologically. I'm not really sure. I think manually means that you'd be able to sort by application in this list. So you have a list of applications in Notification Center, and you can edit and move those around. So I assume that's what the manual sorting would be. So, you know, I would probably use by time. And the cool thing is, you know, I would never ever want a pop-up when I get a new email, but the new style notifications, if I get an email using with that, that is very nice. Cause you know, it's not a problem. It's not in my way. It just kind of says, in addition to this little beep sound that you heard, this is what, you know, the result of that beep is.
If I may, though, go back just for one moment to the fact that you're talking about all the different customization options that they have. I don't know about Jeff, but you got me at kind of a disadvantage because I'm not a developer and I'm not signed up for the developer program either. So I'm not using the beta. There's no guarantee that the level of customization that you're talking about is actually going to make it to the final release. I mean, it's sort of like that multi-finger, you know, the multi-finger gestures that were with the, what was it, 4.3 beta for the iPad?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That Apple then said, oh, by the way, you know, play with this and tell us what you think, but don't get used to it because it's not going to be in the final release. I mean, what you're playing with right now is months.
Well, to directly address that one,
yeah.
That stayed in the release. As long as you hooked it up to Xcode, it would give you that option. and now, so you hook it up to Xcode and you say, this is a development device, and boom, then you have that option. Now that actual option is now included in iOS 5. And they've addressed that in the keynote, and it's actually in there.
Okay, that is very cool. But I mean, to say that the option is still there, I mean, it's not.
It's really not there for mere mortals.
Right. It's not there for the general consumer, which is, you know, who we're talking about when we're talking about iOS, right?
No,
unless we're doing a developer show, which is a whole, which I just need to go ahead and hang up.
No. I'm saying that in iOS 5, that is an advertised feature now.
Right. But I mean, when you say it's still available in 4.3, kind of.
Sure.
I mean, do it, but I mean, really, you can't. Like Jeff said, mere mortals won't even stumble across it.
I see what you mean.
So it's available-ish.
Right. Yeah. Well, you have to realize that with that kind of feature, that is there for developers to test with their applications, because a lot of apps such as iTeleport have special gestures and whatnot, and you would, as a developer, have to enable awareness of that in your application so that those two don't interact improperly. So I think that's why they put it in there. But regardless, I'm thinking that, you know, that level of this level of, you know, tweaking is definitely useful and will probably make it. But, you know, we'll see.
Interesting.
Regardless.
I hope it does. It would be neat. I mean, it would be neat just to be able to set it your own way.
I mean, even if it didn't have the old style alert, I think that's the only thing they would remove from this is the alert style for, you know, the old style, specifying whether or not you want banners. So like I said, for mail is really cool to be able to get that and tell it whether or not you want to have the app icon badged. If you want to see an alert in your lock screen, you know, how many previous messages you want to see in Notification Center, stuff like that is very cool. Next on the list, iMessage, which was something that we weren't expecting. So iMessage is essentially text messaging for all iOS devices.
Yeah.
It's iChat for iOS.
Yeah. And it doesn't tie in with FaceTime, so it's kind of frustrating right now because the only person I get to chat with is myself because it's developer right now.
Right.
But it's pretty nice. So you'll be able to send messages to other iOS users, picture, text, and I believe video as well. It's very much like the current Messages app. and I don't have it on my iPhone, so I'm not sure, but it seems like the Messages app on the iPhone just simply adds the extra bits in that it allows you to message to iMessage users in addition to text message users. I don't think it's two separate apps, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought they said from the stage that there was that it was built right into Messages, actually. It was built right into the text messaging client or the MMS messaging client. You just had to choose whether you were doing an iMessage or a text message.
Gotcha.
That's what they said. You know, that's what I thought I heard them say.
Yeah, and that would make sense. So,
from the stage. I have a question for you guys. The two articles that I've been reading are the two points about iMessage that I've been reading, aside from anybody who thinks it's cool, are that it's kind of a big screw you to BlackBerry and that it's kind of a big screw you to the carriers, because it stands to eliminate the need for some text messaging. Now, the problem is, you know, I know people who use BlackBerries and people who use Palms and people who use Android phones. Actually, I just know people who use Android phones. But, I mean, I'm not going to be able to do iMessage with them, so I can't kill my text messaging entirely. But they did kind of, they kind of hosed the carriers, it sounds like, a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. There's the whole BlackBerry message thing. And so if you get a BlackBerry on Verizon or AT&T, you still have the potential to sidestep SMS. Mm-hmm. But to assume that all the people that you're going to need to text with are using the same platform as you, okay, there probably are people out there that will text only with other iPhone users. But there's a lot of people that are going to need to have SMS still. And keep in mind that the BlackBerry users and the iPhone users, in the grand scheme of things, make up a smaller percentage of the total number of cell phones that can do SMS. So I don't think it's going to be as big a hit on AT&T and Verizon or Oranges or whoever's bottom line as some people might think.
It is still kind of would you agree, though, that it's still kind of an up yours to the carriers, though? I mean, Gruber ran this thing Monday night saying that he heard from someone, you know, it's one of Gruber's sources that he's never going to name, and that's cool, but that he heard from somebody that the carriers didn't even know it was coming.
And that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay, would you say, though, that it's sort of like Apple's big enough now that they don't need to? At least they're big enough in iPhone that they don't need to at this point, like let them know or ask their permission or even give them a heads up?
Yeah, I think Apple is a big enough player in this game that they can throw their weight around. And I think this is something that they probably wanted to do with the very first iPhone and just couldn't. But they're big enough now and they have enough control that they can do it. And and their balls are big enough that they can do it without even telling the carriers it's coming.
Yeah.
Is there any way, and obviously we don't know, but do either of you see a way that this could actually become not a standard, but that this could become basically a chat app that Apple puts out for other platforms?
You mean Mac and PC?
I mean Windows Phone 7 and BlackBerry and WebOS. And could this be a chat application that they put out on other platforms?
I mean, that would be fantastic, and I do think so. It definitely has that potential. And that would be a big screw you to any of those.
It would be.
Because, you know, you can't get BBM on your iPhone.
Right. Kind of curious why that is. Is it just BlackBerry trying to hold on to whatever market share they have?
I think so.
I thought BlackBerry was working on a messaging client, a BBM client for the iPhone. Maybe I'm wrong.
That sounds vaguely familiar, but I honestly can't remember.
Yeah. All right. So also Newsstand is an application now going to be included with iOS 5 that allows you to purchase subscriptions to newspapers and magazines. And it's a little icon on your springboard that kind of acts like a folder, but it's, you know, a folder for newspapers and magazines.
Yeah, it's like iBookstore except for periodicals, right? Yeah. And newspapers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it looks to me.
And you can't put it in a folder because it is a folder, essentially.
And I just forgot the name of the guy that started Rolling Stone. How bad of me.
Oh, yes.
But isn't this a bit of slap in the face to him? Because he was saying, what, like a week or so ago?
Yeah.
Oh, no, the whole digital magazine and newspaper subscription thing, that's no good. And
well, he's shaking his fist at the future. He's saying that
clearly.
He's saying that eventually, or he said in the whatever article it was, Ad Age, I think it was. Gosh, I can't believe I can't remember his name. That tablets are a good way to read newspapers and magazines, newspapers especially. Magazines, they're a good way, but they're not as convenient as an actual magazine, he says. And he does think that eventually tablets will take over, but it will be... It'll
be decades.
It might be another generation or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Not another generation or two of tablets, but generation or two of people. So, yeah, decades is what he's thinking, which I think is nuts.
I mean,
and if he thinks the world's going to wait for Rolling Stone, they'll just read Spin. Or, you know, whatever does come to the iPad, right?
Right,
even though Rolling Stone's doing great journalism right now, actually great journalism, you know, if it's not on my computer or my iPad, then it's not.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I basically bring my iPad wherever I go now. So,
yep, that's how I am too.
It's way more. It would be. I mean, I think one of the points he made was that magazine reading is on a tablet is only more convenient when you're on the go. But
right.
But why would you? I mean, why would you not want to have that all consolidated all the time?
Right.
And you have that, you know, updated on all your different devices. So, yeah, you have maybe you leave your iPad at home. You start reading it on there. Oh, you're waiting at the train stop. You get out your iPhone and you flip through a couple pages on there. And, you know, it syncs between all of them. So it's, you know.
Yeah, he must just, better. I mean, I the one thing I can't figure out is why exactly, unless what he's upset about is the fact that you can't get as much subscriber information, although certainly the New Yorker has found an interesting way to get more subscriber information. If you want access to everything that they've ever published all the way back to 1920, whatever it was, when the first issue of the New Yorker came out, fine, great. Just give me your full name and your email address.
Yeah.
And they get it. They get it over 50% of the time, according to Apple. I can't remember what that was, but it was a couple of weeks ago that they're saying, yeah, people are opting in. If you ask them and give them a reason, people will give you the information that you're freaking out that you can't have. Because you can have it. You just have to give them something a tiny bit more for it. So I don't know why exactly the guy from Rolling Stone, the guy who founded Rolling Stone, whose name I still can't think of.
Jan something.
Jan. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Jan Wenner. Wenner. Wenner Media. Wenner? Let's go with that.
That's it. Jan Wenner.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeff, because that was going to drive me crazy for the rest of the show. I'm not sure why Jan Wenner is I mean, what would you rather? That I hopefully happen by a newsstand that has Rolling Stone, or that I finish reading whatever magazine I read on my iPad and then want to read Rolling Stone, and then I'll buy it from you? Because, I mean, he did acknowledge the fact that they have some of their content online. He did acknowledge the fact that they are available through Xenio. But I don't know Xenio. I know Apple. And I'll subscribe to a magazine if Apple will let me go ahead and tell them, hey, you know how you're taking money from me for everything else in my digital life? Take another buck or two for this as well. As opposed to Xenio, who... Apple's made it very clear that they want to try to protect your privacy. Who knows what Apple does with your information in 20 years, 30 years? Because, I mean, you're never 100% certain. But I feel more comfortable with Apple having my information than I do with Xenio. And I'm not saying anything bad about them. It's just I don't know them, and I've already got a relationship with Apple.
Right.
But Jan Wenner wants to, you know, pretend like paper's still going to be the way to go for the next 15 to 20 years. And that's fine.
Yeah. Next on the list, reminders. And I'm really excited about this. I want to hear what Ken Case of the Omni Group thinks of this one, especially for one of the more interesting features. So reminders is essentially a basic task list. You can have a bunch of different lists. And the fancy feature that I want to get everyone's opinion on is the location-based reminders, because this, I think, is just, I mean, it would save me, I mean, make me way less insane. So basically, you can have a task, and if you say, they use the example of call home when you leave the Moscone Center. So you put that in your task list, and you say, remind me at a location. And you type in the location, address, or, you know, whatever, and you say either when you leave or when you arrive. And then when you, let's say you leave the Moscone Center, your phone goes, hey, you're supposed to do this thing. And then you do it. And magic.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of my favorite features.
That's so cool, because somebody actually called into the live show last week and said that they would love something like that. Like, they know that next time they're in this neighborhood, they have to stop by this store to pick up this thing that they can only get in this place. And invariably, they'll be in the neighborhood. They'll totally forget about it. They'll get home and then they're like, oh, I should have gone there and picked up, you know, whatever it was. So yeah. It would work like that. Like, I could say next time I'm near here. I mean, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's nuts. That's awesome.
You know, I don't see, okay, first, this is very, very cool. Second, I don't see this as a threat to OmniFocus.
No, neither do I.
Because if you're someone that's using OmniFocus, then the reminders thing is going to be so far below what you need.
Yeah, so far beneath you. Yeah.
Yeah, which is not to say reminders is going to be a bad thing. It's just that there are different levels of functionality and features, and OmniFocus offers features and functionality that Reminder simply doesn't.
Yeah, what I'm really interested in with regard to OmniFocus is whether developers have access to this API that Apple's using in Reminders, so that, you know, right now you can say whenever you open OmniFocus, you can get a map view or a list view and arrange your tasks, contextually related or tagged tasks by your location. So you can, you know, I tag things with, you know, Target and, you know, different stores and stuff like that. So I can hit the button and it says, oh, you're really close to Target, and it just moves Target up to that list, up to the top of the list. And then, you know, Mom's House is next to that. And you can see, you know, I'm near these places. These are the things that I need to do, that kind of thing. So it'd be neat if you had the option to have OmniFocus remind you, although I feel like the thing that Ken would say is, oh, but that's not what OmniFocus is for. It's supposed to be for a slightly different approach. It's more of a GTD approach. But I would like to see that regardless.
Can you get this to work like down to a room level? like I'm in my studio and I go out to the living room for something, and by the time I get there, I've forgotten why I went.
I think they have pills for that.
Okay. Maybe that's it.
That would be cool.
Pills. I don't know. That's, you know.
Well, as long as the pills aren't Viagra, because I'd feel bad if that's what I was forgetting.
Oh, man. We're so on the edge of becoming a blue podcast this week. But it's good. It's good stuff. Good times. We're having fun. At least that's what I keep telling myself. Twitter integration is now built in to iOS 5. So, you know, initially I thought, hey, this is kind of dumb. But having a tweet sheet, as they call it, access to a tweet sheet wherever you want is pretty cool. So you're in Safari, let's say, oh, this is a cool site. I need to Twitter about this. You just click on that little action icon and click on tweet. And then a tweet sheet pops up. And you can tweet about it, add a link, add your location. You can do that from the Photos application, so you can tweet a photo real quick. I haven't played with it too much, but it does work. And do developers have access to the tweet sheet?
I would assume so, because they referred to the single login feature, so that you wouldn't have to enter information for multiple Twitter clients. So I'm assuming that also means that developers would have access to the tweet sheet.
Yeah.
Does this sound like trouble for Instagram on the horizon? I mean,
no. Instagram
is built entirely for iOS right now. They may eventually go to something else. I haven't heard, but right now they're all iOS. if I've got the option of tweeting or twittering, whatever, every picture that I take automatically, and if they actually, if that becomes part of the APIs that Apple makes available, so that, you know, whoever does, well, 100 cameras in one, I think already has Instagram integration and may already have a Twitter integration as well. I just wonder if it, I wonder if it steals any of their thunder, or if it's, if it slows their momentum at all.
I don't think it will. I mean, yes, there's the whole Twitter thing that's in there, but there's the whole kind of social part that goes with it that you wouldn't have with Apple's features.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
So the camera application has also been improved. So these features are actually very cool as well. So if you double click on your lock screen, you know, the same action that you take to bring up your media controls, there will also be a camera button. So you double click and then there's the button, you press it, and you're taken right to the camera app. So it's a really great shortcut to getting to the camera pretty quickly. And you can use the volume up button as a shutter button, which is something that in the past Apple has frowned upon, and now they have adopted, which is great.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. You know, I'm actually excited about this feature because I use the camera on my iPhone a lot. And that whole process of swipe, passcode, wait for the screen to come up, then do the whole tap camera, wait and wait and wait. Okay, it's finally ready. That's just like too long. By the time everything's ready to go, the photo moment's gone. Having a way where I can just tap a little button, hit the volume button, and I've got a photo, no problem. That's what I like.
Yeah, and even for folks with passcode locks on their phone, it'll bypass it in a way that doesn't allow you access to previously taken photos, but you can take photos. So if someone finds your phone, Jeff, you know, they might just take some dick pics.
What did they say? I'm blue. On Twit Live, I think it was yesterday. It was like, so people won't be able, anybody who steals your phone won't be able to see your old pictures, but they will be able to take pictures of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is nice.
And, you know, if people are going to do photos like that, I'd prefer the boob pics, if that's okay.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if I can toss the request out there, I would prefer the boob pics.
Yeah, so ladies.
But, you know.
We're looking for you ladies, to pick up Jeff's phone.
But, you know, if you're that proud of your junk, you know, I can go, that's big. And then.
Yeah. Also new in the camera, you can also zoom in using pinch. So that zoom feature just basically adopts the pinch ability. And there's also grid lines to help you compose your photo. Very nice. And autofocus and auto exposure lock, right? So you could do that before, but now it'll lock it to whatever you choose, I think. Is that the new feature?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now related, in the Photos app, you can finally edit your photos. Holy cow.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So you can crop, you can rotate. You can do the enhance feature.
Rotating is awesome.
Rotating is huge for me. I use an app called PasteBot, which is for syncing application or text and images to and from your iPhone and Mac. And I also used it for cropping. Now I won't have to bounce photos back and forth, which was just nuts. The crop controls in the current seed are a little bit hard to use, but I'm sure they'll improve that. It is a beta. The enhance feature, also red eye reduction. So that's very nice.
I think it's very cool they're adding the photo editing in. Because you're right. Up until now, it's been a total pain in the ass to edit an image on your iPhone. Yeah, Yeah, there's lots of stuff that I would have tweeted had I been able to do a quick image edit and then didn't.
Yeah.
So actually, in the grand scheme of things, maybe it's better that we don't have that image edit.
Yeah, just maybe. Saying. Depending on what you're tweeting. Also right. New, Safari has been updated substantially, more specifically on the iPad than on the iPhone. But so on the iPad, you now have real tabs, not those fake tabs, those tile tabs. So now you have actual tabs. You can bounce around to different tabs very quickly as you do in Safari. You can close them and you can even rearrange them, which is very cool. Still only 9, but I think that's fine.
Is it still only 9, and then do you get the other ones like you do currently? So like right now I've only got 9 windows, which, you know, would be the 9 tabs.
Right.
But like in the next one, can I have 81 tabs total, like 9 different pages, or are they replacing that, you know, back out, zoom in? Because it wouldn't kill me to have, you know, like one Safari that I leave open always for news. And so there's CNN and there's, you know, whatever, the LA Times, whatever. And then I've got another one that's just for music stuff. So there's Rolling Stone and their dearth of content online and Spin and something else. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
do I get a bunch of different...
No, you get. It's just they've replaced that tile layout with tabs.
That's weird. Okay. That's weird. It's not overly weird, but all they're really doing then is changing the form factor, right?
Yeah, they're just changing the metaphor for it, and I think it's actually much easier, and it's way quicker to switch between them.
Well, yeah. I mean, that does sound better, but... I want more of what I don't even have yet. Never mind.
So, Michael, is there a way to go back to the thumbnail version if you wanted? Or is it just the tabs and that's it?
Does not look like you can switch between. I think it's just tabs.
That's too bad.
Yeah, because, too bad we get tabs. Boo.
Well, you know, the way tabs are implemented in most web browsers just doesn't work for me because you get words, you get a bunch of tabs, and now you have words that you can't read.
No, I agree with you on that.
And so on the smaller form factor, an iPhone or an iPad, I like the idea of, even though it takes an extra step to get to the thumbnail view, with the thumbnail view, it's much easier for me to see what I have open. And I typically have all 9 of my tabs filled with something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely understand that. But I mean, it is much quicker to switch between, so, you know.
Well, that's assuming you can figure out what it is that's in each tab.
I mean, you do that by frantically tapping on each tab.
Right. Yeah. You're saying it's much quicker to switch between, but what Jeff's saying is he didn't used to have to switch between all 9.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. You can also, there's private browsing, which is very nice. I don't know why you would want to use that, but... It's pretty cool. Changes the interface to black so you can tell when you're in private browsing mode, although there's no way to... I mean, you have to go into settings in order to toggle private browsing.
So it's not something you just flip on real quick and flip off
right. real quick. Unfortunately, no. There's also Reader, which we've had in Safari for a little while, which allows you to do an Instapaper style removal of all the website-y stuff and just get the text stuff from a website. So it pulls out all the content and just shows you a clean interface. And in addition, with that, you can add things to your reading list, which is, essentially Instapaper. But it syncs across all your iOS devices and shows up in the reading list right away.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't see it as an Instapaper killer.
Yeah, I feel like I'll probably still use Instapaper because I have a lot of different folders. At least that's why I would continue using Instapaper for now. iOS 5 is now PC free, which is, it's just so great.
That's a huge thing.
It's amazing. So now instead of when you get your iPad and you take it home, and you open it up and you, I need a computer. It just says set up iPad or set up iPhone or what have you. And so you just slide to set it up, and it takes you through a little setup wizard just as it does on the Mac. It asks for your, you know, Apple ID and all the relevant information. It allows you to create. I want to say it allows you to create a new Apple ID and all that stuff, but I haven't actually tried it yet, but I assume it would. So it allows you to do that.
Well, it would have to, wouldn't it? I mean, if the whole point is you don't need a computer, then there's a chance that the person who's getting it has never had a computer, which means they wouldn't have an Apple ID.
Right. That's why I assume that you would that would be part of it.
That'd be kind of awesome.
It was like, yeah, and that makes sense.
Computer, but you do have to have already had one in the past at some point.
You have to go to your grandson's house first.
Exactly. That'd be funny.
Yep.
I mean, you know, in weird, bizarro world, it'd be funny in my head.
Well, you can skip that step and proceed to hopping on the web, and then I guess at that point you could create your ID and then go back somehow if you were, you know, that savvy, which if you don't have an email address, I'm guessing you're not. So,
yeah,
not a jab at my grandma. I love my grandma. It's just that,
you invited her to your house. I heard you right there on the show.
Well, I mean, I invite her to my house all the time. It's grandma. She usually gives me money.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hi, grandma. We love you.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't tell your mother.
Yeah.
I don't know. That may be a perfect imitation of your grandmother. I'm not sure.
Don't tell your mom. Oh, yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
Don't tell your mom.
No, that is precisely what happens.
Yeah, sure.
Calendar has also been updated. And, Jeff, I think you're going to like this part. Oh, and before we get to Calendar, Safari, the tab part is only different on the iPad. It's the same thumbnail thing on the iPhone.
Oh, so there you go, Jeff.
Yeah, so that's a lot better for the iPhone. Yeah. Tabs on the iPhone would be bad.
Yep. Calendar on the iPad now gets a year view, so you can see all the months of the year in one view. And on the iPhone, Jeff, are you ready for this? You get week view.
Finally. That's only something I've been waiting for since the original iPhone shipped, mm-hmm. and something I've been able to do on every Palm Pilot I ever owned.
Mm-hmm. You can also edit and create calendars, and you can share calendars with people. It's very cool. Game Center, blah, blah. I think there have been some tweaks. So you get AirPlay mirroring for the iPad. So with the iPad 2, as you know, you can mirror using the cable. But now you can mirror to your Apple TV using AirPlay, which is...
I'm totally glad I bought the cable.
Oh.
That was kind of like, wow, really? We're going to do that now? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I got this, okay.
It's going to be good for like one thing.
Now, to be fair, that cable cost you less than buying an Apple TV.
Well, yeah, but I already had an Apple TV.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, now you see.
Yeah. Okay, I get it.
You get Wi-Fi sync in iOS 5, which is something that I haven't been able to play with because it doesn't seem like it's enabled yet. But you'll be able to, whenever you plug in your iPhone or your iPad to power at night, it will automatically sync all of your, well, everything, apps, music, backup, all that fun stuff. So you won't have to worry about connecting your computer. The multi-touch or multitasking gestures are in there now as standard. And I think I've covered all the big features in iOS 5. You guys know of anything else you want to touch on? We have a sponsor break here if you don't have anything else.
I got nothing. Got questions.
Okay.
People keep asking what's going to happen with podcasts in this post-PC world. Since you can't subscribe to a podcast on an iOS device, you can go and download individual episodes, but you can't go and subscribe to a podcast. So, I mean, does this just open up a wealth of stuff for Stitcher or for individual apps like, you know, mine or the other ones that Wiz built for people? Or what happens for...
You know, we didn't talk about this beforehand, but the sponsor this week is Stitcher Radio.
Get out.
Wow.
Ken Ray is a mind reader, ladies and gentlemen.
about this. No, they actually were a sponsor of a Tuesday's edition of macOS Ken, so maybe that's why they're on my mind. But the other reason is because people have been asking me, but please, how could Stitcher solve such a problem for me, Michael?
Well, I'll tell you, Ken.
Really? I'm sorry, I'll be quiet. I'm sorry.
We didn't plan it. Now nobody's ever going to believe that ever.
Yeah. So it's because we're such pros here. So Stitcher Radio is a service that allows you to access a large database of podcasts and radio shows, either online or in the application. And specifically, we're going to be talking about the Stitcher Radio app for iPhone and iPad and, you know, of course, iPod Touch. So it allows you access to this enormous library. You can search for shows like We Have Communicators. You can search for macOS Ken. You can search for the MacCast, the Mac Geek Gab, and all those other shows, you know, tech shows, Apple shows, comedy shows. You know, there are a lot of shows that I listen to that aren't tech, and they have pretty much all the stuff that you can find in iTunes. But the great thing about Stitcher Radio is it allows you to find those shows, save them as favorites, and then stream them whenever you're ready to listen to them. So you don't have to worry about syncing. You don't have to worry about downloading. All you do, whenever there's a new show, so for example, I have macOS Ken in my list of favorites. So whenever there's a new episode of macOS Ken, it puts a little badge on the icon so I know, okay, there's a new episode. I just open it up, tap on the show, and it starts playing. In addition to that, you can also listen to local radio stations. And I believe even if it's not a local radio station, you can search for a lot of different radio stations. It's a very handy application to have, and it's completely free. So that's awesome. So the app is free. The service is free. All you got to do is sign up and, you know, give them your email address and all that. But you get all those great features. And right now, through We Have Communicators, they're running a promotion where you can potentially win a free iPad 2 by signing up with the promo code WHC. So you can go to stitcher.com/WHC. You'll be able to, I believe, send yourself an email so you can click on the link on your iPhone or your iPad or what have you. Or you can just go to the App Store right away, search for Stitcher Radio. And then in the app, the important thing to do is, if you want to be considered for the drawing of the iPad 2, when you're signing up, there's going to be a little bar at the top, and it says, you know, do you have a promo code? Click on that. Type in WHC is the promo code, and you'll be entered to win that, and you'll be automatically, We Have Communicators will be automatically added to your favorites list. So check that out, stitcher.com/WHC. We thank them for their support of We Have Communicators. And with that, iCloud.
Well, wait. Go back to the podcast question.
Oh, sorry.
Did Apple really just do companies like Stitcher a giant favor, or individuals who have their own podcast applications a giant favor, or are they going to start paying attention to podcasts again? Because while they have tweaked the podcast pages every now and then, the last time Apple paid a significant amount of attention to podcasts, it seems, was at WWDC 2005, when they killed all the other podcast aggregators out there by introducing podcasts to iTunes. I can still access, I guess what I'm asking is, in iOS 5 or iCloud or whatever's coming in the future, am I going to have the ability to subscribe to a podcast through iTunes, or are they now turning that back over to third parties?
Interesting. You know, I haven't even looked at it. I'm guessing there isn't anything new in there, but, you know, I'll check it out.
All right. That was it. I mean, that was...
That is a good question, and I hadn't thought of that.
Because what's interesting about that, I mean, obviously for us, because we're all involved in podcasts, you know, there are so many things in iOS 5 that stand to damage/destroy third-party apps. And yet, if the move away from the Mac or the move away from computers, I mean, it's not like everybody's going to quit using computers tomorrow, but if the move away from computers or, you know, the move to the wireless syncing, I mean, that has the potential to screw up how people consume podcasts, or at least change how people consume podcasts quite a bit, assuming that people consume podcasts quite a bit.
I can see where this is going to be a problem.
Well,
a potential problem.
Right. I mean, it may actually be, hey, we'll call August. We'll get the band back together. They can do iPod or X again. They just can't call it iPod or X, but they can do that again. And suddenly Podcast Alley might actually become relevant again, which, you know, that would be neat to see. Sorry. Sorry.
That's okay. I was just suddenly strolling down Nostalgia Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all had bell bottoms and sideburns this long in mid-2005.
Yeah, that was kinks in our hair. Yeah. Those days rocked. Casey, I loved that polyester shirt you wore.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I actually did in 2005, but we can move on. Sorry. Here's the thing. People who listen to this show may care. Most people aren't going to care. I mean, it was podcast listeners who wrote to me. It didn't even occur to me. And I have a podcast again. You know, it was podcast listeners who wrote to me. They were like, so what the hell? You know, as far as that goes. And now I'm like, yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, so, me too. Now that you bring it up.
Yeah, let's all be like, what the hell?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, what the hell?
All right. Now we just did that. Okay, so iCloud is the fancy new service from Apple. And it brings a lot of really cool stuff and a lot of stuff that I'm actually very excited for Grandma. I think she'll really like it. So iTunes music redownloading. So just music, right? Not TV shows, not movies, just music, right?
That's what it looks like right now.
Yeah, because I'm
assuming that for the movies thing and TV shows thing, Apple has to swing different deals.
Yeah. And that may be announced in time. But for those of you who don't have access to iOS 5, you can still use the iTunes music redownloading already. If you have iOS 4.3, just open up your iTunes application and under, I believe in the tab bar, yeah, there's going to be an icon that says purchased or possibly under more. And all you got to do is go there and you can see all of the songs you've ever purchased from iTunes and you can re-download them. You can also see only songs that were not purchased on, that are not currently on your phone. You can also do the same thing for the App Store, which is really cool. That's one of those things that I've been looking for a long time is, you know, you can re-download an application for free, but you didn't always know if you purchased that one or not. So sometimes there was an occasion where I wanted to re-download TomTom. I think it's U.S. and Canada, and they have tons of different versions of TomTom out there. So I mistakenly went to download TomTom USA, and it didn't pop up, hey, you're about to get this, but it's going to be free. I went, oh no, I just spent $50. So, yeah. So now under updates in the App Store on your phone or iPad, click on purchased and you can see an enormous list. At least in my case, it's an enormous list of applications and you can see all or not on this phone. You can also search through that, which is very cool. Same goes for iBookstore. And in addition to simply perusing your previous purchases, you can also set your devices to automatically download new purchases. So on your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, you can under store in settings, you can turn on off automatic downloads for music, apps, and books.
I did like the fact that you could choose.
Yeah, me too.
That you could choose whether or not it was going to be, because I mean, I get iPad apps or iPhone apps. Like sometimes I'll get apps for my iPhone that I don't want on my iPad because there's no point in doing the 2X thing. And exactly. So I've got it right now so that music syncs to both just because, you know, I want to try it. I'll probably turn that one off too. But then iBooks, yeah, sure, because I don't buy that many books that often. But if I'm stuck someplace and didn't bring my iPad, if I can be sure and have whatever I'm reading on my iPhone as well, win.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You can also access all of that information from within iTunes. You have to upgrade to, what is it, 10.3?
Yeah. Yeah, it just came out like in the middle of the night last night.
Yeah, so get iTunes 10.3, and so in the iTunes store, on the right-hand side, there will be a purchased link, and you can peruse all of your previous purchases in there as well, and that's very cool. Now to the very exciting stuff, document syncing for apps. So that means, and they showed off this feature with iWork applications, specifically with Keynote and Pages. So you start work on a document on one of your devices, let's say your iPad, save it, you're good. You want to jump over to your iPhone, no problem. It's right there automatically.
Now, is that supposed to be working right now? Because I tried it last night and I couldn't make it happen.
You know, I'm not sure. I don't have iWork. So I'm not sure if they said that it's in the current versions.
Yeah. Yeah, they did
say.
Yeah,
but is the backend part functioning yet?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't have my iPad right here next to me, unfortunately. I tried a letter. I tried doing just a fake letter on my iPhone just to see if I could get it to copy over. Because that's what I did last night. That and iBooks. I kept doing it with iBooks too. Like, oh, I'm going to get this free thing. And, you know, can I get to my iPad before it actually downloads there? Nope, there it is. Wow. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. It is kind of neat.
Couldn't make it happen with iWork last night or with Pages last night.
Yeah. Also, over-the-air backups. Now, this, I think, is not so great for me as it is for people who don't have a computer, who just want to get an iPad, such as grandma. Been telling her that she needs to get an iPad, but you won't be able to back up. Your photos won't really be that safe. But now you can set up iCloud backups. It seems like it's either iCloud or iTunes only. It doesn't seem like you can do both, though. But this could be a developer preview issue, so we'll just leave that to the future. But it'll back up over the air. I've actually done this, and you can restore over the air, too. So when you go through that setup process, I tried it. It takes a while to do that first backup, but it does incrementals after that. And when you want to restore it, it takes a few minutes, depending on the size of your backup. But it will back up everything that iTunes would back up for you in the past. So application data, your camera roll, the arrangement of your applications, all the apps that you do have on there, all of that stuff. So it's very cool. You just, restore over the air. And once you do that, then all your applications just start downloading over there. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's free.
And it's free. Yeah, that was the part. Jeff and I were talking earlier for a short little day six thing. And honestly, I quit making sense when we got to this part because it's just, it's stupid. It's stupid. Between this and $30 for Lion, and then the fact that with iCloud and iOS 5 and Lion, they've basically, there's no such thing as syncing anymore. There just is.
Yeah, I love it.
It is what it is. You did something on your iPhone. Of course it's on your iPad. You did something on your iPad. Of course it's on your iPod Touch. And it's all reasonably priced. If you're already in. If you're already in the ecosystem, it just, the only thing is I'm not sure how intelligent a pitch they're going to be able to make to the average consumer. I don't know that the general consumer is going to care. But if they can find a really, clever way to say that and just to make it clear, not talk about cloud. I know it's called iCloud, but not talk about with the cloud, you're able to back up this and you're able to, if they're just able to very succinctly explain to people who are not yet in the ecosystem how easy it is that all of your information is going to be everywhere. That's a huge win for people who are not in the ecosystem. For people who are already in it, like us, oh my God. It's crazy. And I'm sorry, there really are almost no settings and it's not going to cost me anything more and it's just going to work. Really? This is like a 180 degree turn from the fiasco that was Mobile Me.
Yeah, yeah.
Assuming, of course, it all works as advertised.
Yeah. Well, it does seem like so far it seems like the iCloud servers that they have set up are working pretty well, as indicated to me by the fact that I could download all of this developer software. So I was able to download the Apple TV update, which allowed the mirroring. The iPad update and iTunes 10.5, which allowed all that stuff to be updated at the same time, and the developer page was not down. And this, I did this maybe 2 hours after the keynote, and I've never seen that happen before. So it seems like they're getting it together. So that's very cool. Photo stream is another feature of iCloud, so that allows you to Whenever you take a picture on your iPad or your iPhone, it'll automatically be sent to the cloud and then beamed down to your iPad and your iPhone and your iPod Touch, as well as your computer. So in addition to taking photos on those devices, you can also take a photo on your standard, you know, prosumer camera or what have you, sync it to your computer, and once that syncs to your computer, they're pushed out to your photo stream on your iDevices. So you just automatically have those new photos that you have, no matter where you put them. They go everywhere, which is great. So it's the last 1,000 photos are stored on your devices through PhotoStream. They're all stored on the iCloud for 30 days, so just that's enough time for you to get them on your device. And then your computer is the main locker where everything stays permanently, so there's no limit on that. And if you want to keep any of those photos on your respective devices, you can just add them to a photo album and they stay there. So that's very, very cool. I'm not All right. sure. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm playing it with the whole application auto download thing between devices and iTunes. And I had an app that started to update on my iPhone and I paused the update. Now here I am in iTunes 3 and I noticed something's downloading. Went and look. Nope, it resumed the download in iTunes. So the update is going over there now. This is just really cool. If this is a taste of how it's really going to work when everything rolls out, it's going to completely negate where you start something because it'll just be working everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And that's just magic. I'm really excited for this stuff. And I'm definitely going to there. Let's just say for anybody who's considering putting iOS 5 on their iPad or, God forbid, on their iPhone, don't. It's very buggy right now. Do not put it on your phone. If you want to be assured that you can make a phone call, don't put it on your phone. I didn't put it on my phone. I'm going to roll back my iPad. So for now, be aware of that. Unless you're a developer, then, you've got it handled.
Right.
The only thing I'm not too clear on for those people who don't have access to a computer is how those photos get backed up. So, the iCloud will save your last 30 days worth of photos unless you save them to, a standard 30 days. You can keep them on your device if you put it in a photo album, but I wonder how the backup works if it will also back up the photos on your device or not. I'm
thinking this is one place where Apple's going to have to do something more down the road, because once people start buying iPads as their only computer and then realize that the photos they're taking are lasting for only 30 days, they're going to start wigging out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, don't you have a couple of options at that point, though? You could either remind me, does the camera connection kit, can I transfer stuff to the SIM card there or the micro SD card there? Or is it only a read-only thing into the
iPad? It's a read-only thing right now.
Really? Okay, well, yeah. That's... the other option, though, is would the 5 gigabytes of whatever, like, photo stream, I know it doesn't count towards that, but is there going to be a way to move photos like from photo stream into albums that still live in the 5 gigabytes of iCloud stuff that I get for being a good person?
Yep.
By which I mean having an iOS device.
Yeah, that's what I'm not clear on.
Yeah. I mean, and for a hardcore photographer, 5 gigabytes isn't going to do it, but for a hardcore photographer, they're going to have other options anyway. They're not the people who are going to have just the iPad and the iPhone and nothing else.
Yeah, it's casual users like my mom.
Right. Or Michael's grandmother.
Right.
Or Michael's grandmother. The people that, when photos start disappearing, they're not going to get why they're disappearing.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, that's kind of, maybe one of those super cool notifications.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Can pop up and say, hey, grandma, you've got like 100 pictures that are about to go away. Would you like us to do something about that?
And then I get a call, and
that would be good.
I get a call from grandma saying, hey, my iPad just called me grandma. Are you messing with me?
good time.
No, grandma. Steve Jobs just knows.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm scrolling through. I think that's something we'll have to figure out down the line. I'm sure that's a question that someone else will, well, camera roll photos is at the top, but that doesn't count. Yeah, see, there's camera roll and then there's other albums, so I don't know. I'll keep playing with it. So with that, we're not going to do iDevice picks this week, and unless you guys...
Oh, I've got one sad story really quickly.
Yeah, go for it.
I feel kind of bad. We were talking about, well, I mentioned earlier that there are some applications that are getting killed or have the potential to be damaged by iOS 5. There's a product that's getting mad money in Kickstarter right now. It's a little plastic clip-on for an iPhone. I don't know if it's an iPhone 3GS or an iPhone 4 or which, but basically, I guess it's 30-pin dot connector. I don't know, but it's basically a big red button so that when you want to take a picture with your iPhone, you can just point and click like, you know, you can with every point and click camera that we've had for years. And like you can't do with the iPhone because you have to, you know, punch the button on the screen, except you don't anymore.
Right.
Once iOS 5 comes out. So I don't know now if it's going to be a race against the fall or if those guys are just going to be like, well, it was a good idea until yesterday.
Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to say that people are probably not going to be interested in that.
Well, I mean, and I don't know enough about how Kickstarter works. I know they were up, they were well over 20,000, and that was a few days ago, as far as people ordering and investing. So, I mean, do they go ahead and do it anyway? And just like, yeah, so, yeah. Remember when we didn't have this, and now we do? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, the good old days.
That was sort of like, oh. For those guys, that's not really a pick. It's more like a just point of interest, I guess.
Yep. So unless there's anything else we have to talk about, I will say that you can find our iPhone picks that we usually do, as well as the show notes, at wehavecommunicators.com. So you can just click on the episode and see all the show notes and all that fun stuff. You don't have to worry about writing anything down, and you can get links and all that great stuff at wehavecommunicators.com. Of course, review the show in iTunes, or just, you know, leave it a rating if you don't have a lot of time. But, you know, reviews and ratings are both very nice, and they help us out quite a bit. You can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. That is an email address in case you weren't aware of how that works. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, as well as twitter.com/jgamet. And you can find his Zazzle store at zazzle.com/jgamet. And you can find lots of fun stuff with all of his illustrations on them, such as hats, shirts, mugs, etc., as well as the We Have Communicators mug.
And everything tastes better in that mug.
Very true. Yep. You can get a standard size mug, you can get a big one, you can get a stein, you can get a frosted beer glass.
It comes frosted?
Yeah, pre-frosted.
Wow.
Yeah. Technology's amazing.
Yeah, the future. Ken Ray is at macosken.com. You can find the wonderful macOS Ken podcast there. It's daily Mac and iOS news. Highly recommended.
And then if I could put in a plug for tomorrow night's macOS Ken Live.
Definitely.
We normally take calls. We're not taking calls tomorrow because we have a guest. Our guest is August Strometer, developer behind a few applications, including Yowza. He was at the keynote. He's there doing the whole, you know, WWDC thing all week. And so we're taking email questions for August tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on Ustream.tv. And then macOS Ken Live is available as a podcast, usually about 24 hours later.
Awesome. And day six, right?
Yes. Day six is out there. More information at macosken.com/day6.
Boom. There you go. Check it out, macosken.com. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/MichaelJohnston, as well as twitter.com/LilReviews, L-I-L Reviews. That's where I review, just stuff, music, movies, food, beer, etc. in 140 character or less tweets. Check that out. It's very cool. And with that, we will see you next time on We Have Communicators. Ding.
Sorry about that.
It's cool. It worked perfectly.
Thought that was off.
That was perfect.
I might even leave that in.
All right.
How are we going to communicate this? The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do?
Drinking, smoking, thinking, trying to free my mind. Take it. Anybody who knows the words.
I don't
come on,
know the word.
His name is Kid Rock. Come on. You don't know? Really? All right.
I know who Kid Rock is.
All right. That's cool. Yuck, no.
Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. No, 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 no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Yuck. Our fingers. Fingers. Yuck. Communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.